You don't have to turn in your Bibles. Let me just read this to open the service with. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, he will come and save you. Now Isaiah is speaking of that vengeance of God that fell from heaven on the Lord Jesus Christ to accomplish the salvation of his people. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Scripture refers to this world as a dry and thirsty land. God has provided in this desert an oasis where the water of life flows freely to all them that are thirsty. Come and drink freely. Well, Tom's going to come lead us in number 38 in Near Spiral Hymnal. Let's stand together.
Every sinner saved by grace, you who by faith God's Son embrace, tell all who hear your voice below, the debt of love to Christ you owe. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to left his Father's throne above and came to earth on wings of love. For us he lived, the perfect man, and so fulfilled the law's demand. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. Jesus endured his Father's ire and died at the appointed hour. What he endured no tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From death's dark grave our King arose and triumphed over all our foes. Up through the skies the victor rode and reigns on high our Savior God. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee. From heaven Christ will quickly come and bring his ransomed people home. There we shall see his lovely face and chant the praises of his grace. Dear Lord, I lift my praise to thee, all that I am or hope to be, I owe alone, O Christ, to thee.
Please be seated.
Good morning. Would you please turn to Romans chapter 8? And we will start in verse 28 and read through 39, the rest of the chapter. Romans 8, verse 28. And this is so comforting to me. I just love not only reading chapter 8, but chapter 7, I mean, is just a perfect illustration of what a sinner really is. And chapter 8 follows up about that good news in Jesus Christ, the true Savior, and what he did for us and God's purpose. And this is just a blessing to me, and I hope it is for you as well. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And to whom he called, them he also justified. And to whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do not have the words to articulate your love, your purpose, your grace. We're here because of your grace, Lord. You've drawn your people to hear your word and your gospel churches today in this moment. Pray that you'd be pleased to reveal our sin to us, our need for a Savior. Pray that he would be lifted up, that Savior, Jesus Christ, right now, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand together once again. We'll sing the hymn that's on the back of your bulletin.
Compared with Christ in all beside, no comeliness I see. The sense of thy expiring love into my soul convey. Thyself bestow, for thee alone I absolutely pray. Less than thyself will not suffice my comfort to restore. More than thyself I cannot crave, and thou canst give no more. Loved of my God, for him again with love intense I burn. Choose thee in return. top all the intents of bliss, if thou, O God, art mine.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me again to Mark chapter 10, please? Mark chapter 10. Bartimaeus, the son of an unclean one, who lived in a cursed city by the name of Jericho and was blind, was reduced to begging. What a picture of the gospel. What a picture of every believer's experience. I've titled this message from the rest of this story, From a Highway to the Way. From a Highway to the Way. Before we begin, I want us to have a prayer for Abigail. She had to leave. She had surgery recently, and the pathology report has come back from the tumor, and it was benign, so we're very thankful for that. But Bobby and Caleb had to leave between services to take her home. So let's pause a moment and pray for her. Our merciful Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful that we can come before thy throne of grace and make our petitions and our supplications, and know, Lord, that you have a hearing ear to the cries of thy children. Lord, we pray for Abigail, and we ask for your hand of strength and healing to be upon her and to give her full recovery. Pray for her mom and dad, and ask, Lord, that you would bless them with your grace and with your hope and with your peace. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Notice in verse 46 that Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside. And then notice in verse 52, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, this is every believer's experience. Not only does every child of God come by the grace of God to see that they live in Jericho, a cursed city. Not only does every child of God, by the grace of God, come to see that they are the son and daughter of an unclean one. They're defiled. They have no righteousness of their own. Not only does every child of God come to see that they are spiritually blind and in need of the Lord to give them eyes to see, every child of God is reduced by the grace of God to becoming a mercy beggar. Lord, if you don't save me, I won't be saved. I've got nothing to obligate you in any way to have mercy upon me. But every child of God is saved from a highway side. That's the picture here. A well-traveled highway. The Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, "Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein." The whole world is on a highway to destruction. And if the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't give us grace to cry for mercy, if he doesn't stand still and call us to himself, we will stay on that highway to destruction and not know where it leads. What do our children say when they want to do something that's not good for them? Everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. And the wise parent says, yeah, and that's exactly why you're not going to be doing it. And yet we never do really get over the need to conform to the masses, do we? Now, sometimes following the crowd might be a good thing. You're in a strange place, and you're looking for a place to eat lunch, and you see one restaurant with one car in the parking lot, another one with 100. You might want to eat at the one with 100 cars. But when it comes to the gospel, the masses of humanity, I promise you, God says it, are on the wrong road. They do not know. They cannot see. They're lost. I see that zombie movies are very popular today. And that, you know, that's what people are like. They're spiritual zombies. They're just following in a mass. And the problem with zombies is that they're dead and they don't know it. They don't know it. And that's spiritually, that's a picture of where the entire world in which you and I live are. The whole world is wrong. Another place this word highway is used in the scriptures is on the parable of the soils. You remember the sower of the seed is casting the seed of the gospel out, and some of the seed falls on the wayside, and it never even has a chance to germinate. It sits there on the hard ground until the birds come down and pluck it away. That's where the world is. Romans chapter 3 says that we have all gone out of the way of peace they do not know. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that way is destruction. The way that seems right unto man is that he could bring something to the table of salvation that would give him some standing before God. Either he can make a decision or pray a prayer or do a work. Something I can bring. That's the way that seems right unto man. And God says that way leads to destruction. Now that's the highway. That's the highway that we're all on by nature. And unless the Lord Jesus Christ stops, as he did here for Bartimaeus, look what he says. In verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Oh, there's so much of the gospel in those few verses right there. So much of the gospel. If the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't put it in our hearts to see him as the Son of David, if he doesn't put it in our hearts to cry out for mercy, if he doesn't stand still and command us to be called unto himself, we will, like the rest of this world, remain on that highway to destruction. He's the only one that can take us off of it. And when he does, he will do for us what he did for Bartimaeus, and immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. In the way. Now, the first time the way is used in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 3, when God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, and he set a cherubim with a flaming sword at the gate of the garden to guard the way of the tree of life. Now, that tree of life is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same tree that we find in the book of Revelation, planted by the rivers of life, producing its fruit in due season, and the leaves of which are for the healings of the nation. Christ is pictured as that tree. And the cherubim with a flaming sword is still protecting the tree of life. Just like when Abram was commanded of God to take those sacrifices and divide them in half, and then the birds came and began to peck on them. And what was Abram's responsibility? To keep, protect. Those sacrifices were Christ. His responsibility was to protect the sacrifice, the tree of life. When God protects the tree of life, nothing's going to hurt that tree. And nothing's going to eat from that tree unless the Lord enables us. That's the way. Now look what Paul says in Acts chapter 24. Will you turn with me there? Acts chapter 24. Paul has been accused by the Jews of being a rabble rouser. And Paul makes his defense to Felix. And in chapter 24 at verse 5, here's their accusation. We have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He belongs to a cult. See, that's the same accusations. They haven't changed. The masses are intimidated by those who step out of rank. And just like they tried to shut up Bartimaeus and get him to stop, they continue to do that. And that's exactly what they were doing for the Apostle Paul. And look at verse 14. Now here's Paul's defense. And this I confess unto thee. He's speaking unto Felix, defending himself against these false accusations. This I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets. They want to accuse me of following after the sect of the Nazarene. I'll accept that. What they call heresy. Now, the word heresy in the scripture is the same word translated choice or opinion. And any choice or opinion that you and I come up with that's inconsistent with the revealed truth of God's word is heresy. It's heresy. And what they were saying was that he's committing heresy. In fact, they were the ones who were committing heresy. They had their choices and opinions that were inconsistent with the revealed truth of the gospel in God's word. And Paul said, No, I bowed to what's revealed in Scripture about Christ. They want to call it a heresy. That's the God that I worship. And he is the way. The way. You see, every single person in this room and in this world is either on the highway or in the way. There's no in between. You're either on the highway with everybody else, or you're in the way following after the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 14. There's no middle ground. There's no part way. You're either on the highway or you're in the way. Look what the Lord Jesus Christ says about himself in John chapter 14. When he begins by saying to his disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ ascended back into glory, he ascended as the living word of God, and God said, "My word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it." The Lord Jesus Christ took the names of those for whom he lived and died and presented them to his Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for his church. And that's what he's saying. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I'm going to be your righteous advocate with the Father, and he's going to be pleased with my intercession on your part. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. And Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" We don't know where you're going, and we don't know how to get there. And Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way. I'm not going to show you the way. I'm not going to teach you the way. You look to me. You look to me. You follow after me. You look to who I am and what I've done for you, and you'll be in the way, not on the highway." Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Now the Lord Jesus Christ commanded Bartimaeus to be called unto him. And that's the only way you and I are going to come. That effectual, irresistible call of grace where God says, "You follow me. Follow me." Verse 7, "If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him." And Philip said unto him, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Whatever feelings of humanity that the Lord may have had, I'm sure that he had been with these disciples for 3 years. This is what he's been telling them. "I am God." And now they're saying, "We want to see the Father, then we'll be satisfied." And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake." What is the work that the Lord Jesus Christ came to accomplish? "Believe me for thy work's sake." I must do the work of my Father. What was the work that the Father sent him to do? Successful redemption. The sacrifice of himself on Calvary's cross, satisfying the demands of God's law and putting away the sins of his people so that he could fit the description of Isaiah 42, verse 6 and 7, "Who is so blind as my servant?" That's his work. "Believe me for my work's sake." And his words haven't changed. He's still saying that to you and me. "Believe me for my work's sake." Bartimaeus, "I am the way." Bartimaeus understood that the Lord Jesus Christ was the way. And being happy to be taken off of the highway, he followed after him, didn't he? God saves all of his people off of the highway of destruction. Scripture speaks of an Ethiopian who happened to be a eunuch who was the treasurer of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, and he had come to Jerusalem looking for God. And he had acquired, while he was in Jerusalem, a copy of Isaiah, at least. Being a wealthy man, he would have been able to do that. And now he's traveling back, reading the book of Isaiah, never having known anything about God. And God sent a preacher by the name of Philip to meet him on the way, the highway to Gaza. That's what the scripture says. The highway that went from Jerusalem down to Gaza, and the Ethiopian eunuch is following on that highway, reading the scripture but not having any idea what he's reading. And Philip comes alongside and says, "Understandest what thou readest?" And what the eunuch say? Now, most men in his position, I'm sure Philip looked like some sort of Bedouin. Maybe just, you know, here is this plain clothed preacher coming up to me. Here I am, the second in command. I've got the queen's treasury. I'm somebody. I'm riding in a chariot. Can't you see all these servants around me? Of course I know what I'm reading. That's what most folks, when you try to talk to them about the gospel, of course I know what I believe. I know what the Bible says. And they don't have a clue. Why? Because like Bartimaeus, they're blind. But God had given this eunuch grace to say, "How can I unless a man should guide me?" I need a preacher to tell me what God says. And he got into and the Ethiopian said, "Does the prophet speak of himself or does he speak of another?" He's reading Isaiah 53, and beginning in that passage, Philip preached unto him Jesus. "Oh, what doth hinder me to be baptized? God's taken me off of the highway that goes down to Gaza, and he's put me in the way." And the first desire that God puts in the heart of those he takes off the highway and puts in the way is to follow after Christ. And following after Christ, their desire is to confess him in public baptism. "What doth hinder me to be baptized? If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And what that Ethiopian say? "I believe that Jesus that you just preached to me is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, I believe that." And he baptized him right there. God saves his people off the highway and puts them in the way. Same thing happened to Saul of Tarsus, didn't he? He was an enemy of the gospel, an enemy of God, an enemy of the church, breathing out threatenings and seeking to arrest believers and take them to prison and have them sentenced to death. And God arrested him while he was on the highway. On the highway. Going down to Damascus. God stopped him in his tracks, didn't he? "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." What would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? Saul had to be made blind before he could be made to see. And so it is with every one of us. God has to arrest us while we're on this highway of destruction. Stop us in our tracks. Speak to us. I was talking to a dear brother just the other day in another city, and he was telling me about his conversion a year ago. He said, "I've been listening to the gospel, been listening to your preaching, and I was driving home from work one day." He said, "I don't even really think I was thinking about God, but God just arrested me in my truck. He just stopped me in my tracks and said, 'I'm going to speak to you today.'" What a blessing. Luke chapter 10, I mentioned this earlier about the man who was on the highway between Jerusalem and Jericho who fell among thieves and was robbed and left for dead in the ditch of the highway. And the priest came by and went on the other side of the road, couldn't help him. Why? because religious ceremonies cannot save a lost person. And then a Levi came by and got on the other side of the road and passed by. Why did he pass by? Because the law cannot save you. And then came a Samaritan. Who is that Samaritan? That, you know, the world sees that story as you be a good Samaritan, and we ought to do what we can to help folks out. But that story's a gospel. That person in the ditch, that's me. The law can't help me. The priest can't help me. I need the Lord Jesus Christ to come and bandage my wounds and to take me to the inn. That's the church. And to say to the innkeeper, you provide for him, you take care of him, and whatever you need beyond what I provided for, I'll give you when I come back through. What a picture. The Lord Jesus Christ takes dead sinners off of the highway and he puts them in the way. That's the story here. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar from Jericho, a man unclean. The Lord calls him off the highway. It's what he said to Daniel when the Lord spoke to Nebuchadnezzar and said, and put the handwriting on the wall, Belshazzar. And Daniel came and interpreted the writing. What did he say? Your kingdom has ended. You've been weighed in the balance and you've been found wanting. Now I'm going to divide your kingdom. And that's what the Lord says to every one of his children when he takes them off the highway. Your kingdom's ended. You've been weighed in the balance and you've been while wanting, and now I'm going to give you two natures. But you're going to be mine. Bartimaeus had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. That's why you're here, isn't it? That's why we come. That's why we listen. That's why we read God's word. Because the only hope that we have of hearing the voice of God is by the word of God. Now, I want to say this clearly. I have a dear friend who had serious surgery. And he told me the other day, he said, before my surgery, I was looking through a magazine, I was anxious, and I was thinking, you know, this might not go well. And I saw a picture, a cute picture of a penguin in the magazine. I thought that was cute, and it gave me a smile. And then I got out of surgery, and I went into the recovery room, and on the wall in my recovery room was exactly the same picture of that cute little penguin. And that experience convinces me that God's on my side and he heard my prayer. Devil can give you that experience. The devil can give you experiences like that. God calls him one of lying wonders and miracles. Yeah, it was an odd picture. I saw the picture. I thought, boy, that's strange. But here this dear man is taking comfort in the picture of a penguin because that convinces him that God's graced him and that God's on his side and that everything's good with God over the picture. That's one illustration that just happened to me a few days ago. But I see that happen all the time. We were in Australia and a man saw the face of Jesus in the clouds and he thought, you know, that God's on my side. There's a picture. Don't trust those experiences as a revelation from God. They can be deceiving. But I tell you one thing you can trust. You can trust the word of God. What God says is true. Believe me for my work's sake. This book reveals the truth about who Christ is and about what he's accomplished for sinners. And if your faith is founded in the Word of God, not in some subjective experience that can be duplicated by an evil spirit, then you've got hope of knowing. I believe what God says. Bartimaeus had heard of Jesus of Nazareth. He had heard about this one whose name was Jehovah Saves, and he was the true Nazarite. And not only that, he was the son of David. He was the full. When the Jews talked about the son of David, that referred to one thing: the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who was going to come in the full power of God to accomplish the purpose of saving all Israel, all by himself. And that's what Bartimaeus believed. And he cried out. And he confessed. He confessed that Jesus was the Christ. Just like Saul of Tarsus did. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch did. Just like every person has ever done that God's taken off of the highway and put in the way. They confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And oh, what hope Bartimaeus has. Look at verse 40, 49. Here's your hope. Here's my hope. When God puts it in your heart to cry for mercy, when God puts it in your heart to see that you live in Jericho, when God puts it in your heart to cause you to understand that you're blind, and when God makes you to be a beggar, and when God puts it in your heart to know who Christ is, you can be sure that he's going to stand still. Because he put that in your heart in order to save you. And he stood still and he commanded. That's what the Lord came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. Don't you love that story of Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the only surviving heir to the throne from King Saul. And David says, is there anyone left from the household of Saul that I might show mercy for him, towards him, for Jonathan's sake? Now, Jonathan there is a picture of Christ. David's going to show mercy. And Mephibosheth's hiding in Lodabar. That's a highway. That's the place of no bread. That's where Mephibosheth was. And that's all that's out there in the world, is there's no bread. There's no bread. They're eating the husk that the swine do eat. And he says, go fetch him. Fetching grace. He brings Mephibosheth to David, and all the way. Mephibosheth's a crippled boy. He had broke both his legs in a fall, and he wasn't able to stand. He wasn't able to walk. They had to carry him all the way back to David. Mephibosheth, well, you see, you and I are crippled, aren't we? In a fall. And we're hiding out in Lodabar. And God sends his servant to come fetch us. And brings Mephibosheth to David. Mephibosheth all along thought, this is it. I'm the last surviving heir of Saul. I'm the only threat to the throne of King David. He's going to kill me. And when David looked at Mephibosheth, he said, oh, Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth. He saw the likeness of his son, didn't he? Of his father. His friend, whom he loved. You sit here at my table. I'm going to feed you with the king's bread all the rest of the days of your life. And you're going to hide those crippled legs underneath my tablecloth. I'm going to take care of you. He took him off the highway, didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ stood still and he commanded him. Mephibosheth didn't have a choice about coming. He was commanded to come. The king's calling you. When God commands a sinner to come, this idea that the gospel is an offer. It's an offer. God wants to save everybody, but he can't overpower your will. Who does that put on the throne of God? God has abdicated his throne to sinners. He's not able to convince us. He's not able to convert us. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Believed. Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? All that God chose in the covenant of grace, when the Lord Jesus Christ makes us to be like Bartimaeus, he stands still and he commands us to come unto him. Now don't. The gospel's not an invitation. It's a command. Creation commands men to come to God. Conscience commands men to come to God. But neither creation nor conscience can convert the soul and make them able to come to God. Men are without excuse because they've not believed what creation or conscience has said. But it's not until the Spirit of God makes us willing in the day of his power that we're able to come. Now you know what a blind beggar by the name of Bartimaeus from Jericho says right now? Oh Lord, stand still. Bid me to come unto thee. Isn't that what Peter said? Lord, bid me to come unto thee. I would not presume to come unto you, but Lord, make me to come. Turn me and I shall be turned. Cause me, Lord, to believe. And we never get beyond that, do we? Now the religionist will say, well, I've done that. And the child of God saying, oh, to whom coming? To whom coming? I've got to keep coming. Notice what Bartimaeus did when the Lord stood still and commanded him to be called. Oh, don't miss the fact that all the folks that were on the highway were trying to shut Bartimaeus up. And they're going to do the same to you. They're going to do the same to me. You see, you coming to Christ is a threat to the highway that they're on. You getting in the way is a threat to them being on the highway. And God's going to allow them to try you. He's going to allow them to throw jeers at you and to persecute you if need be. This brother I was telling you about that said the Lord arrested him in his truck a year ago. He says it's been a year now. He said, I've lost a lot of friends over this. But then he said, haven't lost any sleep over the fact that I've lost friends. You listen to the crowd on the highway. You let them intimidate you. You'll never find yourself in the way. Notice what Bartimaeus does. Be of good comfort. That's what they said. Arise. And there is comfort. Adam, you read that passage from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. Tell them their warfare is accomplished. Their iniquity is purged. They've received of the Lord double for their sin. What a comfort. He's done it all. He calleth thee. He calleth thee. Lord, call me. Keep calling me. And verse 50. And he, casting away his garment. How do I know if God's called me? I believe that Jesus is the Son of David. I believe I'm blind. I know I live in Jericho. I know I was born. My father's name was Timaeus, and my name is Bartimaeus. I've been reduced to begging from God for everything. And I have no righteousness whatsoever of my own. None whatsoever. You're not going to come to Christ without leaving that dirty outer garment, holy, smelly. You can imagine, you've seen the way beggars dress. You've seen the condition they're in. Well, think about it back then. Holy, smelly garment, that's all he had. But he wasn't going to come to Christ with that. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before God. You're not going to come to Christ until the Lord enables you to get rid of all the hope of your salvation based on anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Forsaking your righteousness, leaving it in the gutter where it belongs, seeing it for what it is, and having the Lord robe you in the righteousness of Christ. What wilt thou have that I should do for you? Now the Lord doesn't ask questions because he doesn't know the answers. But he asks questions to force us to see our need. What would you have me do for you? Now Bartimaeus in his response is saying, Lord, that I might be saved. That I might receive my sight. I need to be able to see. This is a spiritual story. And the Lord says to you and me, what would you have me do for you? And the Bartimaeuses from Jericho say, Lord, save me. Save me. Be my righteousness. Put my sin under your blood. Be all my salvation. And the Lord said, thy faith. Where'd that faith come from? Where'd it come from? Came from the same place his blindness came from. Came from the same place his residence in Jericho came from. Came from the same place him being a beggar came from. What God requires, God must provide. And God only accepts that which he provides. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Lord saw the faith that he had given to Bartimaeus. And he said, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately, now think about it. Say, well, you know, I wonder if this is real. I wonder if this is real. No, I see. They interrogated that man the Lord gave sight to in the temple, and they tried to get him to answer all their theological questions. These proud Pharisees who were on the highway, and they were threatened by anybody getting off the highway going to the way. And what did he say? You know, I don't know about all your theological debates. Only thing I know is that once I was blind, and now I see. Once I didn't know who God was. Once I didn't know I was a sinner. Once I didn't know what Christ had accomplished on Calvary's cross, and now I see. From the highway, which is where we all are by nature, to the way, which is where some will be, by grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, oh, how we do hope that you would be merciful to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, give us faith to believe you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. 29. Number 29. Let's stand together. Number 29.
Jesus died, the Spirit called me. I am saved by sovereign grace, chosen by my heavenly Father and redeemed by Jesus' blood. I am justified, forgiven, and accepted by my God. Hallelujah! God has saved me by His sovereign grace. Jesus died, the Spirit called me. I am saved by sovereign grace. God the Spirit came in power, gave me life and set me free. He revealed my blessed Savior and created faith in me. Saved me by His sovereign grace. Jesus died, the Spirit called me. I am saved by sovereign grace. God has saved me and will keep me by the power of His grace. He will guide, guard, and protect me till I see my Savior's face. Hallelujah! God has saved me by His sovereign grace. Jesus died, the Spirit called me. I am saved.